Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas, and thank you for tuning in this evening. The way this podcast works is very simple. You just pick an episode, press play, and get comfortable in bed. We'll take some time to relax, and then I, or one of my friends, will read you a bedtime story that's designed to gently grasp your attention and guide you to sleep. Remember, the more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So be sure to subscribe or follow on whichever platform you use to listen to your podcasts, so you'll never miss out on a good night's rest. Now, as some of you will know already, I do try to give a nod to any upcoming global events, and so I have to mention that we're a couple of days out from Valentine's Day. I know some people might prefer me not to remind them, but some will probably be glad I did. And hopefully not too many of you have just been struck with the panic that you've forgotten about it up till now. But it links in well with tonight's story, as I'll be reading you a sleepy adaptation of one of the best-known classic love stories, Cinderella. We've flipped it on its head and modernised the themes a bit, and no doubt it will leave your heart feeling warm. And whilst we're talking love, I'll take this opportunity to remind you that me and the team would really appreciate if you show us some love by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you really love Get Sleepy, then why not give us some feedback or share any ideas you have at our website, getsleepy.com. As I've said before, I really do read every bit of feedback. I try to respond to as many of you as I can, and I make sure to keep up with all of your reviews as well. And with that, me and the team do try to take on board all of the things that you guys are saying that you like or don't like so much. And of course, your suggestions for what you'd like more or less of in future episodes. And one thing a few people have asked is that I occasionally address sleep itself and how it can be a subject of frustration and anxiety for so many of us. And those who've been listening from the start will definitely know that I've very much been affected by sleep problems for the vast majority of my life. And even nowadays, I have my fair share of bad patches where I just can't seem to switch off at night and only end up getting a few hours sleep. And of course, it tends to be a bit of a vicious cycle. But it's really important that we don't blame ourselves if we can't sleep. Make sure you're gentle on yourself and just gently try to focus your attention to the present moment without looking back or ahead. Remind yourself that sure, you might prefer to be asleep, but you're okay in this present moment. You're just fine. And you can always use a preferred relaxation or mindfulness exercise that you may have heard on this podcast or elsewhere, to just bring yourself back to feeling centered and present. And of course, you can always listen to an episode of Get Sleepy, no matter what time of night it is. And if you are struggling, by using the podcast, I'm confident that things will improve and you're on your way there already. So before I read tonight's story, just take some deep breaths and relax your body. Notice how, as you're listening to my voice, your eyes are becoming heavier and you're easing towards sleepiness. You can allow any lingering thoughts to just dissipate and fade away. as your mind becomes more still and more calm. Sleep will just naturally come, so don't force it. Just lay in peace and comfort while you listen to tonight's story, where we find ourselves in a magical kingdom nestled deep in the European countryside. Birds chirp in bushy green trees as horses trot by along the cobblestone roads. Once upon a time, in a far-off land, there lived a young man named Asher. Asher was a clever young man. He worked hard at his job, was diligent in his studies, and above all, he was kind to everyone. Each morning when he woke up, he'd yawn, stretch his arms, and give a cheery greeting to the two little mice who lived under his bed. They weren't his pets exactly, but he felt he knew them well. He named them Jack and Gia, and he thought they made quite a fine pair. One was white, and the other was brown. Throughout the day, he'd catch them sneaking around behind the dresser, playing with a button or some thread. Every morning, Asher would pull out a bit of cheese for Jack and Gia. Cheddar was their favourite, he thought. But he couldn't be sure. After all, who really understands the mind of a mouse? But although they couldn't talk to one another, he felt they were his friends. That was good enough for him. Asher lived in a small room above the master glassblower's factory. The master glassblower was a kindly old man, stooped with age, whose failing eyesight made it hard for him to do the fine work he once did. But that didn't stop him from trying. From morning until night, he was there in his factory, starting projects most acceptably, and then leaving them halfway through for Asher to finish when he got distracted. Asher was his apprentice, and a fine apprentice he was indeed. Since he was little, Asher had been in awe of the master glassblower's creations. There were tiny circuses, complete with carousels, that had real moving parts, all made of glass. There were animals of all shapes and sizes, from delicate birds with perfectly formed beaks, to large elephants holding balloons in their trunks. There were dancers, mermaids, and even dragons in flight. all made by the steady hand of the master glassblower. When he was 12, Asher asked his stepfather if he might take a job with the glassblower. Knowing his stepson's fascination with the craft, he said yes, of course, and sent Asher on his way with a basket full of lunch and some pennies in his pocket. Upon arriving on the master glassblower's doorstep, he gave a light knock at the door. The old man answered and asked Asher what he'd brought for lunch. The boy told him his stepfather had packed 6 different types of sandwiches. "Any tomato and cheese?" the old man asked. Asher nodded. And with that, he found himself apprentice to the glassblower. The old man welcomed him with open arms, sharing all he knew about the art of glassblowing. Asher learned which colours best complemented each other, and what techniques would put tiny bubbles or lines in the glass. How to wrap tendrils of hot glass around one another to create stems for elegant champagne flutes. And how to form tiny animals, one leg at a time. Asher started early in the morning, sweeping last night's ashes outside and stoking the fire for the day's work. In the evening, he put the fire to bed, before nestling down into his own and falling deeply asleep. Asher's stepfather would always stop by on Tuesdays. He'd bring sandwiches, an extra tomato and cheese for the old man, of course, and stay for lunch. On Wednesdays, Asher's 2 stepbrothers would come to visit. They were close in age to Asher. The 3 would line up all the glass animals in rows and put them on parade for all to see. Asher's mother trained dragons in the mountains to the east. He loved his mother very much, but her job meant that she was gone from home quite often. He missed her, but knew she was following her passion, and that was all right by him. She'd write him letters every week, and once a month would send him a parcel of goodies. He'd now been with the glassblower for 3 years, and his mother had never, ever missed a month. This month, Asher came downstairs on a Friday and found the package sitting neatly in the middle of the kitchen table. The old man must have brought it in, he thought. He took his time opening the package. He loved to savour every moment of his mother's gifts, right down to the twine, tied squarely in a knot on top. He pulled at a loose end, and the knot fell away. He carefully unwound the twine from the bottom and sides, coiled it up, and set it on the table. Next came the paper. It was brown paper, crinkled and worn over the miles it had travelled. he pulled away one side, and then the next, careful not to tear an edge. Inside, he found the most perfect set of trousers and a cream-coloured shirt. The trousers were crushed velvet and purple, the colour of a king's cloak, he thought. The shirt was adorned with tiny gemstones at the cuffs and richly embroidered with gold silk. Asher had never seen such fine clothes before. Could they really be for him? Between the shirt and trousers was a small handwritten note. It read, "To my beloved son, on his 15th birthday. I hope these clothes will fit you like a king as you make your way to the palace for the princess's spring ball. How handsome you will be. All my love, Mother." The princess's spring ball was just a week away. It was an annual affair at the castle, and everyone who was anyone was invited to attend. His stepfather always got an invitation, given that he was the queen's own jeweler. He crafted the finest necklaces, the most dazzling tiaras, and the most elegant earrings for the queen. The princess was also 15, just a few months older than Asher. But although the ball had been held in her name since she was an infant, children were not usually asked to attend, which Asher found strange. He wondered if the princess was lonely there in the castle, without other young people to talk to. But this year, that was all changing. 15 was seen as a special age in the kingdom, when young people are coming into their own and starting on their path to adulthood. As a result, 15-year-olds could be invited to the ball. Last year, Asher's older stepbrother, Samuel, was asked to attend. What a time he had had. He came home late, his cheeks flushed from dancing through the night. Asher couldn't wait to attend his first ball. Every night for the last 3 weeks, he'd practiced the dance steps that the glassblower had taught him. He'd count steps in his bedroom at night. Jack and Gia, the little mice, would peek out from behind the bedpost and watch him twirl his invisible partner around the room. In anticipation of the big night, Asher had been working on a very special and secret project. He only had 2 pairs of shoes. Both were leather, and both were worn with age. Their toes black and sooty from standing so near the fire every day. He couldn't be seen at a fancy ball in such plain old clothes. So Asher had been rising an hour early each morning to work on his very special and secret project. His project would make his outfit complete. It was a pair of the finest, sturdiest and most polished royal purple glass shoes that the kingdom had ever seen. They matched perfectly with the trousers that his mum sent. Now, glass shoes might sound impractical, but they had a long and storied history in the kingdom. The king's father used to have a pair, rumour had it, but one day they developed a crack and were never repaired. It was said the queen's own great-grandmother had a pair of ruby glass slippers that were enchanted, though no one could say if that was really true. The morning of the ball, Asher got up an extra 2 hours early to put the finishing touches on his fine glass shoes. He slipped them on his feet, where they sat regally just beneath the hem of his crushed velvet trousers. "What do you two think?" he asked the mice scurrying out from behind the dresser. Jack and Gia stood up on their hind legs and looked at the strange shiny shoes. They squeaked with approval, waving their little hands as though to clap them. At least that's what Asher took their little noises to mean. And he smiled. He had beautiful clothes. He had perfect shoes. Now, all Asher needed was his invitation. Yesterday, a rider from the castle hand-delivered the special pieces of parchment to both Samuel and his stepfather. When Samuel asked about Asher's letter, the rider said it must have gone to the glassblower's residence. But unfortunately, it had not. While he worked, Asher listened for the sound of hoofbeats on the cobblestones. Nothing. Now it was nearly lunchtime on the day of the ball, and Asher worried he wouldn't be invited at all. He took off his special clothes, folded them carefully, and set them down in the cleanest corner of the workshop. There, they'd be ready to go the instant his letter arrived. But it didn't. He waited through early afternoon, and the master glassblower watched his apprentice sit, distracted, not tending to the fire or his creations as closely as he should. He felt bad for the boy, knowing how dearly he wished to attend. Two others were also watching Asher, Jack and Gia. The little mice, who likewise considered Asher their friend, were concerned about this strange piece of paper that he seemed to care about so much. And so, they decided to do what any good mouse would do, and find it. They crept behind Asher's dresser, where there was a small hole filled with tiny shelves of cheese. Jack had used his tiny paws to build the shelves from twigs last year. There they stored all the cheese that Asher had brought them every morning. Cheddar was, in fact, their favourite. the two followed a twisting, turning maze of pathways that worked through the walls of the glassblower's house, down the drainpipe, and outside onto the cobblestone path. Jack and Gia raced across the cobblestones, avoiding large human feet, large hairy dogs, and large scary cats. They each took one side of the road and canvassed all the nooks and crannies for a strange piece of paper bearing Asher's name. Finally, at the edge of town, half sunk into a mud puddle, Gia spotted some royal parchment. She squeaked to Jack. They each took up a side of the parchment, which was heavy with water, and dragged it back up the cobblestones, past the people and the dogs and cats, and into the maze of rooms leading to Asher's dresser. They rolled the parchment and pulled it through the small hole and laid it out nicely in the middle of Asher's floor. Then they hopped their way downstairs and tried to get Asher's attention. Asher heard the commotion and high-pitched squeaks behind him. He turned to find Jack and Gia hopping around the legs of his workbench. They seemed to be quite excited about something. What could it be? Asher wondered. Jack and Gia ran to the stairs and began hopping back up. Out of curiosity, Asher followed. When he got to the top step and peered into his room, he saw a muddy piece of paper on the floor. "My invitation," he said. Jack and Gia ran in happy circles around the room. Asher smiled to himself. They'd each be getting an extra piece of cheese for at least a week. He snatched the paper off the floor and ran downstairs to share the good news with the master glassblower. In his haste, he didn't pay attention to where he was going and crashed straight into a chair, which knocked into the workbench, which tipped over and tossed his brand new clothing straight into the red-hot fire. By the time he got to the fire, the crushed velvet trousers and cream shirt had turned to ash. Asher sat down on the floor and put his head into his hands. Now he had his invitation, but he had absolutely nothing to wear, except a pair of silly purple glass shoes. He'd never be able to go to the ball now. Ahem. He heard a small cough behind him. Asher turned. Where no one had been just moments ago, there now stood a man in the middle of the room, surrounded by a cloud of dense purple smoke. The man had a large moustache and waved his hand in front of it to clear the smoke. "Who are you?" Asher asked. "Why, I am your fairy godfather, of course," the man replied. Asha raised an eyebrow. Everyone had heard of fairy godmothers, but fairy godfathers? He didn't know there was such a thing. His fairy godfather told him he'd been watching Asha for several weeks, working hard to get ready for the ball. He saw Asha's invitation fly out of a mailbag and get stuck in a puddle, only to be pulled out by mice. Then he saw Asha's most recent incident with his fancy clothes in the fire. So he decided it was time for a visit. He asked Asha why he wanted to go to the ball, and Asha's kindness shone through. He thought the princess must be very lonely as the only person her age in the castle. Maybe she could use a friend. The fairy godfather thought this kindness should be rewarded. He pulled out his wand and waved it counterclockwise in front of the fire. From the ashes, a new pair of trousers and a new cream shirt emerged. Asha would have sworn that these were nicer than the first pair, if that were even possible. Now, he had everything he needed to go to the ball, his fairy godfather said. But, like with all magic, there was a catch. He had to be back home by the stroke of midnight, or his fine clothes would turn back to ash. Asha thanked his fairy godfather over and over again as he hurried to pull on the clothes and slip on his fancy purple shoes. If he were quick, he could still make it to 2 hours of the ball before midnight. The fairy godfather raised his wand once again, and in a puff of purple smoke, transported Asha to the gates of the castle. They were the biggest gates Asha had ever seen. He marveled at the sheer size of the castle. It was perched up on a hill and looked much smaller from down in the village than it did here in person. He gave a quick knock of the gate's golden handle, and with a creak, the gate swung open. Asha walked into the courtyard. On the other side, there was a large doorway leading into the ballroom. Adults from across the kingdom were inside. They were dressed in fanciful ball gowns and handsome suits. A string quartet played waltzes in the corner, and the adults twirled in elegant circles to the music. Asha was a little intimidated to go inside. He loved the idea of a ball, but in person, he felt rather insignificant compared to all the finery inside the room. Just then, he heard a small noise to his right. He turned and saw the princess sitting alone in a little rose garden at the edge of the courtyard. He walked over. Asher introduced himself and the princess smiled. She put out her hand and he shook it. She said her name was Ella. He asked why she wasn't inside with everyone else. It was her ball after all. The funny thing is, she said, I don't really like balls. There's never anyone else my age, and it's sort of lonely. Asher nodded. He understood. It was why he was here, after all. He asked if he could join her in the rose garden. She smiled and patted on the bench beside her. And so, Asher and Ella sat and talked. They talked about their families, about their hopes and dreams, about what they wanted to be when they grew up. Ella said she was fine being a princess, but didn't want to be holed up in a castle for her whole life. Asher said he wanted to be the finest glassblower in all the world. They sat and talked for an hour, and then for two. Asher decided he very much liked this princess. She wasn't what he'd expected, and that was just fine. Ella thought that she liked this boy too. Even if he was wearing very funny purple glass shoes. They seemed quite impractical, she thought. Kind of like her great-great-grandmother's slippers. Then, the clock struck midnight. Asher realized he'd talked too long. Jumped up from the bench, apologizing to Ella for having to leave so quickly. He pointed to his clothes and shrugged, running across the courtyard and through the gates, leaving a curious trail of ash in his wake. And Ella was right. The shoes were impractical. So impractical, in fact, that one came off Asher's foot entirely and was left tipped over sideways in the middle of the courtyard. She walked over and picked it up. She usually dreaded these formal balls. She dreaded standing in the corner, not having anyone her own age to talk to. Dreaded having to wear stiff ball gowns all night. But tonight, she met Asher, the future master glassblower, and it had been the best ball she'd ever had. For once, someone was interested in her, Ella the person, rather than Ella the princess. Asher ran down the hill and back into the glassblower's shop. When he got there, his clothes were tattered and charred, or what remained of them at least. He realized he was missing a shoe. But in spite of the loss, he'd had a wonderful night. Ella had a good sense of humor, he thought. Even though she didn't really seem to appreciate his shoes. It was too bad he'd never get to see her again, he thought. At least, not until next year. He took a warm bath to clean off the bits of ash and went to sleep with a smile in his heart. The next morning, Asher heard a tapping at the door of the glassblower's shop. He ruffled his hair and pulled on a pair of trousers before trotting downstairs. It was early, and he was still sleepy. The tapping continued. He opened the door. There, on the doorstep, stood Ella, the princess. And in her hand was a single purple glass shoe. "Oh, you found my shoe. Thank you." "How did you find me, though?" Asher said. "It really wasn't hard," Ella replied. "After all, there is only one master glassblower in the village." She handed him the shoe. He invited her inside. He had so much to show her, he said. There were circuses made of glass, with tiny elephants and dancers. Much more fun than a pair of shoes. She smiled. And so did the two little mice, watching from behind a workbench, nibbling on bits of cheddar cheese.